Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming this morning, and welcome to everyone watching the live link as well. Hopefully you've all picked up notice sheets, because I think everything is on there. Yeah, good. Okay, so again, thank you to the choir for singing. It sounded lovely. And we're going to start this morning's service with singing I Love You, Lord. Thank you that through our lives you are faithful and that you are always with us. Okay, if you'd like to take your seats. And this morning's service is, it's Joff that is going to be preaching, not Nathan this morning. I'm sure you already know that from your notice sheets. Okay, so I'm just going to read a poem around Philippians 2, which is one of the passages that will be spoken about this morning. In humble grace, our Saviour came, descending from his throne, embraced our frailty and our shame to make our pain his own. A servant's heart, he took the form, in human likeness bled, obedient faced the raging storm and bowed his sacred head. Upon the cross, his love displayed, redemption's work complete, the debt of sin forever paid, our Saviour's task replete. Exalted high by God above, the name of Christ we raise. In adoration, awe and love, our voices joined in praise. At Jesus' name, all knees shall bend, in heaven and earth declare. All tongues confess from end to end, that Christ is Lord most fair. Okay, thank you everyone for coming. As I said, after the service, we do have tea and coffee in the lounge. Better say it now before I forget. If so, you're all more than welcome to stay. Just going to sing three songs now. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. That's absolutely fine. We don't mind. Okay, the first song we're going to sing, What a Beautiful Name It Is. Lord, we thank you that you are with us all this morning. Be with Nathan as he preaches at Parkwood. Be with everyone here, and just, I know there's someone somewhere is going to hear something special from you this morning. Just be with us all and let your glory shine through. Right, we're next going to sing, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, and then because of you. And after that, Danny's going to talk about Limitless, for anyone that's interested.
Pour out today.
you, Danny.
Say it again. Good morning, church.
Morning, Danny.
There you go. So I'll continue with the excitement that we just heard. That was brilliant, guys. We're going camping and we're very excited about it. So Limitless is camping for 11 to 18 year olds. We go to Stafford Showground and dates for this year are 3rd to 7th of August. Early bird prices end on the 27th of February, so we're planning to get in quick. Deposits of £70 need to be in by the 18th of February. To secure your places for your young people. I'll be around after church for more details, so please do come and see me. For anyone who might struggle with the prices, don't let that put you off. We often have contributions from congregation members towards children going, which we're really, really grateful for. So please contact Kuda. She's not here today, but she will be able to, if you get in contact with her, she can help you out with that. We also need adult supporters. This is always the one where I'm a little bit wary to ask you guys. This is always a really beneficial trip for the young people. The youth love it, and a number of our young people have given their lives to Christ at these camping trips. And it really just helps ground their faith to sort of continue through the rest of the year. So if you would like to go camping and sort of support this venture that we do, please do come and see me after the service as well. I think that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, just before the children leave, does anyone have or had a birthday or have one coming up in the next few days? Oh, I've got one. Hello, do you want to come up? Come on down. Is there anyone else? I know Miles' birthday's yesterday too. Hello, how are you? And how old are you?
Six.
And when's your birthday?
Yeah. Today.
Today? Whoa. And do you think you might like to choose a present? Yeah? Have a look, see what you like, have a good rummage. You can move things if you want. Yeah? You want that? Yeah? Okay. We'll sing happy birthday. In fact, the children are going to go out now to Sunday school groups. Is everything off? Way and everything. So, yeah, anyone, Sunday school, follow people that look around about the same age if you don't know where to go if you're visitors. But, yeah. And we're going to sing All Heaven Declares just while they're going out. Next, we're going to have some prayers by Bev.
Good morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do indeed thank you for all that you give us. Lord, you have blessed our lives in so many ways. And Father, we do pray that you would bless those who are celebrating this morning. Lord, we thank you for Ben and Vicky and for their joy this week. And Lord, we thank you for that baby's safe arrival. And Lord, we do pray for those who are struggling at the moment. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with ill health, with the respiratory problems that have been happening over the winter. Lord, for those with mobility problems, and Father, for those who struggle in the darker months with their mental health, Father, we do pray that you would touch their lives and increase the blessing that you give to them. And Father, we look further afield and we continue to pray for those who live in war zones, those who are homeless, those who are refugees. And Lord, we know that in your lifetime, there were times when you were alienated. There were times when you were a refugee. And Father, that you know the hearts of those people. And Father, we do really pray for the tiny amount of Christians who live in Gaza. And Father, we pray that you would work in that situation at the moment. And Lord, that you would grease the wheels of the talks that are taking place, that there might be a conversation which shows wisdom coming from you. And Lord, we do pray for everything that we are planning in the coming months. And Lord, we pray for Nathan too as he preaches this morning. And Lord, we pray for Joth as he brings your message to us. Father, we appreciate that he goes from church to church and has a word from you for them all. And Lord, we thank you for his ministry in this southeast region. So Lord, be with us, we pray, as we continue to hear from you. Amen. I'm going to read one of the passages that Joth is speaking on this morning, and it's Matthew 16, and just starting at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Thank you, Bev. And I'm just going to read Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, which is the other passage. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Thank you. Okay, just before Joth comes to preach, we're just going to sing a couple more songs. We're going to sing "I Praise the Name" and then "I See the King of Glory." Stand as you like, it's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Josh, who's going to come and preach the word to us now. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Terry, and to the band. You love to sing, don't you, here? You really enjoyed the worship and the singing and being in the presence of God together in that way. So thank you, Terry, and everyone that has contributed to enable us to do that this morning. If you haven't called my name or you've not met me before, my name is actually Joth, J-O-T-H. I do get called Jeff sometimes and sometimes Josh. My real name is Jonathan. But if you call me Jonathan, I think you're my mum or my dad, which will be a bit weird because sadly they passed away in 2022. My mum and dad were very particular about my name, but then I met a lady, or a young girl actually, well, young girl. She was a teenager when I first met her, like about 18, and she renamed me and then started dating her. We then got engaged and we've been married for 34 years. So, thank you. I didn't expect that, but 34 years is kind of nowhere, really, isn't it? It's not 40 and it's not 30, but we've been married for a long time. So that's why I'm known as Joth wherever I go. It's good to be here. Nathan, when I saw Nathan a little while ago, inviting me back, I just want to say something to you about Nathan. Nathan is in mourning. You understand that, don't you? Klopp is leaving Anfield, and he is going to need a lot of tender care and love and nurturing over these next few weeks. So, and as a Liverpool fan myself, I feel his pain. So I just want you to encourage you to look after your pastor over the next couple of weeks at least. As you were told, I'm a regional minister for Southeastern Baptist Association, which you're part of. And so I travel from one church to the other, mainly in Kent and East Sussex, although sometimes I get to the other side of the association. We have 150 churches in all, so you actually associate with churches in Kent, Sussex, Surrey, and four in Hampshire as well. So don't forget the four in Hampshire. And we are kind of your connection to some extent. As we come alongside churches, I was in Faversham yesterday as we inducted a new minister, Rachel Taylor. She was ordained and has been inducted to work alongside Jeff at Faversham. Really excited about what God is doing there. And that's the kind of role that we play. So it's great when we get an invite to come and share with churches and to be part of your worship together. As I go round from place to place, and you may remember this when I came, I think I was with you about a year ago, I take a photograph of each church. I don't know if we've have we got my PowerPoint presentation. There we go. So this was the last church that I was with last Sunday. So this is Forest Row Baptist Church near East Grinstead. I don't know if people know that area. Quite a small church. About 20 or so folk gathered there last week. And I said to them, I said, I'm going to be with Sittingbourne next week. Would you like to send all your love and greetings to Sittingbourne Baptist Church? And of course they said, we would love to do that. So they're waving to you. I love the guy second row back on the end there. His name's Adam. He's got both arms in the air, big smile, cheering and sending all his love and greetings on behalf of the church to you. Are you feeling the love? Yes. You are. Great. Now, you're sitting there, some of you who are astute, thinking, well, where's he going to be next week? Actually, that's a really good question. Where am I going to be next week? I'm going to be in Beltinge next week, up on the coast. And again, quite a small church over there in Beltinge. Now, would you like to send all your love and greetings to them? Would you love to do that? Now, I've got a bit of a challenge here because I'm realising we've got a congregation upstairs and we've got a congregation that I may have to take two photographs and it's going to be difficult to get people on the edge there. Now, if you really don't want to be in the photograph, that's absolutely fine. Either get to the edges or do your shoelaces up. Or, as someone once did, who wanted to be in the photograph but couldn't allow his face to be in the photograph, he just waved his hand in front of his face as he waved. So you can do that as well. So those are the kind of mechanisms to get it out of the photograph. Are you ready for this? Good. We will get to God's word, don't worry. So when I do this, people are thinking, what is this bloke turned up to do? So I might have to get on a chair here. That's great. Yeah. Let's see. I'm gonna go do downstairs first. If you're on the edge, you might want to just push in because I can't quite get all the edges. But nice big wave. I'll take a few of downstairs. I'm going to do a double photograph. And let's go upstairs as well. Actually, I think, yeah, that's great. Yeah, marvellous. That's super. Thank you very much. I will pass that on to Beltinge. And we also put that on our Facebook page if the church is comfortable with that. And so that goes out to the whole association as well. So you can look on our Facebook page, Southeastern Baptist Association, and you'll see your photograph appear that in the next couple of days. So thank you. Great. Well, it's great to share with you. And Nathan very kindly gave me a freebie, as he called it. So he said you could preach on whatever you like, which isn't always the easiest thing to know what to do. But God tends to give me a sermon for a season as I go from one church to another. And so I want to share with some thoughts around these two passages that we've read together, particularly from Matthew 16 and then also from Philippians 2. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, if you've got a physical Bible, you can do this. You can have a finger in both passages. Ha! For you people with apps open, that's not so easy to do. So you may have to find a way of flicking from one to the other, because we're going to be looking at both these passages together. And this is a difficult passage. The one in Matthew 16 is a difficult one for a number of reasons, because Jesus says this very challenging word about picking up your cross and following me. But it actually follows another difficult saying of Jesus. When he speaks to Peter and he says to Peter, he calls him Satan, doesn't he? Terrible. I mean, if I turned around to someone and said, Satan, you'd be horrified, wouldn't you? Jesus turns around to his best friend and he calls him Satan, and then he says these words, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan, he says. So this is a difficult passage, but I think within this difficult passage which we have to grapple with, we learn a huge amount about what Jesus is saying about being his disciple. I've called this following the way. In your notes it says following in the way. That's incorrect. It should be following the way. Oh, it says following in, I think on the front it says following in the way. It should say following the way, following the person of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? And many years ago, we were part of a church fellowship, a large church fellowship, and the pastor there was Bob, and his wife was Debbie. And we were talking to Bob and Debbie on the door. You know, as you kind of, in the old traditional way, you said the pastor would go to the door and he would shake everyone's hand. Bob was that kind of pastor. And we were talking to him on the door on the way out, and we said, oh, we're going on holiday soon. And he said, oh, where are you going? And we said, we're going to France. He said, oh, we're going to France too. When are you going? We told him the dates. He said, that's when we're going to be in France. And we said, oh, that's great. He said, where are you? Whereabouts in France are you going to be? And we said, we're going to be here. And he said, well, we'll come and see you. We will pay you a pastoral visit. Has your pastor ever done that on holiday for you? You have a word with Nathan. Why haven't you come and visited me while I'm on holiday? Well, believe it or not, Bob and Debbie turned up at our little gite, and I called it a gilet the other day and realised that's a coat, but it turned up at our little gite in their camper van, their motorhome, and we spent the day with Bob and Debbie. Bob, I need to tell you, Bob was one of these larger-than-life pastors, and he used to say quite regularly from the pulpit and all kinds of other places, he would say to the congregation, trust me, I'm a pastor. Anyway, we spent the day, we went off for lunch, they paid for some food for us, that's good as well, tell Nathan that one as well, buy lunch. And then we went for a lovely afternoon walk. And we went up, I think it was in the Dordogne area, so we went up onto the cliffs and the hills, and we were over above the river, and we could see the town below us. And as we walked along, most of the journey was fine, but then we got to a point, and have you ever been on a walk like this? You get to a point where you suddenly go, where is the path? We couldn't work out which way to go. In fact, the path wasn't clear at all. And Bob, as often he did, suddenly said, trust me. I'm a pastor. I know where I'm going. And he began to lead us through this woodland and these shrubs around us. I've got to admit, I was a bit unsure. But because he spoke with such great confidence, I followed. And we all followed. And we went through the shrubs, kind of pulling trees and branches apart, thinking maybe there is a path here, but no one's been along it for a very long time. And then all of a sudden, Bob went, "Stop!" like that. And he was standing on the edge of a cliff. Folks, never trust a pastor. Jesus says to his disciples, and actually it's common in Matthew, he uses this term, or Matthew uses this term, the way. And being a disciple of a rabbi, being a disciple of someone, a teacher, what actually happened is the rabbi would pick their students. They would find their students, they would find the best students, and they would say to the students, literally, follow me. Come and follow me. And that's exactly what Jesus does, doesn't he, with his disciples. He finds his disciples who aren't academically good, who are kind of a bit confused most of the time, and he says to them, follow me. But when his disciples get it wrong, when they start to lead instead of follow, what Jesus has to say is, no, get behind me. Get behind me. To be a disciple of Jesus is to follow in the way. Brian reminded me, I didn't need reminding, but he reminded me earlier that the Christians were first known as the people of the way. Before they were even known as Christians, they were known as the people of the way. People that decided to follow Jesus and were on a journey. Each and every one of us, if we're following Christ, we're on a journey. But we're on a journey that Jesus has gone before. And we're following in his footsteps, in his way. So let's ask the question, what does that mean? And of course, we could add a whole load of things, but I just want to add three things for you to think about in terms of what does that look like. That I think come out of this passage, but also the Philippians 2 passage. I think these two passages really fit nicely together in helping us to understand what does it mean to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And the first one is this, and I think it will come up on the screen for us. The first one is this, let go of power. Let go of power. The Philippians 2 passage, if you turn to the Philippians 2 passage, it says these words, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. That's the NIV version. Sadly, the NIV version doesn't pick up something that is very unique and rare, a word that is very rare in this. The literal translation is this, Christ Jesus, who in the form of God existing, not something to be grasped, considered to be equal with God. Or the New Revised Standard Version, which probably gets closer to a good translation, Jesus Christ, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. That word grasped, the Greek is harpagmos. It's a very, very rare word. It's the only time it appears in Scripture. It's only one occasion that it appears here. Some even think maybe it was a word that Paul created for this very moment, but we're not 100% certain. But it's this sense of holding on to something and then letting go. I don't know if you've ever been abseiling. There's a point when you kind of have to just let go and allow the rope to hold you. Jesus did not hold on to the greatest power of all, which is the power of the divine. It's the power of God. But instead, he decides to let go of that power and to become one of us. To be enter into our world in human flesh. We've just celebrated. I think we can just about say that. We're still just in January, so we can still refer to Christmas, can't we? We've just celebrated the coming of Christ, one of the most amazing, remarkable things that takes place in the act of God and the story of Jesus Christ, is the coming of Christ as a baby placed in a manger. The letting go of heaven and the entering into earth. And this is the way. This is the way that Jesus sets. In a minute we'll kind of talk about the picking up of the cross. But part of the picking up of your cross is actually the letting go of power. As Jesus goes to the cross, there is no power, is there? It's ripped from him. Even his own breath eventually is taken from him. And he lets go of all that he could be holding on to. If I take you back to the temptation of Jesus, that's exactly what's going on there. The temptation of Jesus by Satan when he's in the desert is for him to hold on to power or somehow do something remarkable where everyone goes, wow, that's great, that's amazing, we're going to follow this person. But Jesus says time and time again, I am not going to be tempted by this way. I'm going to go my Father's way, the way of the cross, the letting go of power. And that's the difference between Peter and Jesus. See, Peter wanted to hold on to the power. Are you like that? Do you like to be in control? You don't have to put your hand up, it's all right. I'm sure you're all good Christian people and you wouldn't put your hand up in Sitting Bull, but I would put my hand up. I don't like to be out of control. Let's put it a different way. Do you like to be out of control? Certainly not like to be out of control when things are spinning around me. And actually in this world today, it does feel a little bit like everything is out of control. And where are we going to end up? Where are we heading? I don't like that situation or those circumstances. I like to be in power or in control to some extent. And Peter was the same. He said to Jesus, Jesus... Because Jesus is saying to them, I'm going to the cross. And Peter's going, no, you got that wrong, Jesus. That's not the way. This is a better way. And actually we see it worked out in Gethsemane, don't we? Where one of the disciples, and some believe it to be Peter, picks up a sword and is ready to fight for Jesus. In fact, Peter says that, doesn't he? He says to Jesus, I'm ready to die for you. And I think in his head he's thinking, if we go to battle, Jesus, I will die for you, but not the cross. That's not my way. And Jesus is saying, get behind me. If you're going to be my disciple, this is the route that we take. Trust me. I am the way. Second thing I want to say is that about this walking with Jesus is about relinquishing our status. Relinquishing my status. Jesus gives up his status of the divine to become human. From the sense of male dominance, which was in that culture at the time, to a place of servanthood. Again, Philippians talks about that, doesn't it? In Philippians 2, Paul takes us through that great transition of Jesus. Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Actually, that word, now not many of the translations do this, but that word isn't actually servant. It's not diakonos. So the word for servant in Greek is diakonos. It's not diakonos, it's doulos. And doulos is slave. It's not servant, he made himself to be a slave. And actually Jesus did that, didn't he? You may be thinking, why has he put dirty feet in the picture up there? But the reason being is because I want to take you to the Last Supper when Jesus had that last meal. And the first thing they do, isn't it, as they arrive, what happens? Jesus washes their feet. And let me tell you that the role of the person to wash the feet would have been the lowest slave of the household. And the lowest slave in rank order would have been the youngest child. So if you were born into a slave family, you did not want to be the youngest child. If you were the youngest child, you would be praying morning and night that your parents would have another child. Because the youngest child's role was to wash the feet of those who came, who traveled, who were guests. And as they arrived, the youngest child would sit with a bowl and a towel and they would wash each person's feet as they would enter in. Not a nice role or task to have. And yet Jesus because no one washed their feet, takes off his garment, wraps a towel around him, and bends and kneels before each of his disciples and becomes their slave and serves them. And even in the sharing of that meal, he says to them, if your Lord and Master has done this to you, therefore wash each other's feet. The way is to let go of power and relinquish status so that we might serve each other, that we might care for each other, that we might look after each other, that the people of the way, as they follow Jesus, they will be seen for those that actually reach out into society and love and love and love again to the point of looking like a slave. This is the way. This is the path. And actually, you begin, as you think about that, thinking, actually, yeah, when Jesus says pick up your cross, he doesn't necessarily mean that you need to pick up your cross and each and every one of us are going to die for our faith, although some will. And some have. Many have. And for some, that is the calling on their life, and that's what they will give up for the sake of the gospel. I guess for most of us here, and you can breathe with a sense of, thank goodness, our regional minister told us this, it's unlikely that most of us here will see death because of our faith. Just the history, the moment, the season that we live in. Although actually, maybe for some in time to come, that could happen. Who knows? But for most of us, that's not what God is calling us to. But he is calling us to lay down our lives, to give of ourselves, to serve the other, to see the other's life more important than our own, so that they may be cared for and supported. This seems to be the way that Jesus follows. And then, thirdly and lastly, to embrace weakness. To embrace weakness. The way of Jesus was to embrace weakness. For many years, going back about 20 years, I tried to pull out a nail in a piece of wood. And when doing so, I did some damage to my back. And to the point I could hardly sit down. My wife thought this was hilarious. You know, when I kind of managed to get into the living room and try and sit on the sofa, she just kind of just was rolling around on the floor laughing because she thought it was funny. So for years, I've had this kind of weakness in my back that I've had to look after. Back in the summer, I picked up a flower pot and I turned and I just felt my back beginning to go and I thought, ooh, that's not good. 2 days later, I was shaving in the bathroom and my son, who was staying with us, knocked on the door and he said to me, he said, Dad, there's a bird in the house, in the living room. So I said to him, Tim, I said, open the window and let the bird out. And he said, well, I'm not going in there. The bird was a baby sparrow, by the way. He said, I'm not going in to the dining room with a bird in there. So I don't know why I did this, but like all dads do, I was like, oh, for goodness sake. So I got this towel around me and I went into the dining room and I went to open the window to let the bird out. The bird is sitting on the windowsill. And as I push the window open with my left hand, the bird flies in, and I do that thing that is not good for backs, is I go outwards and backwards like that at the same time. You ever done that? My back just goes, this little bird has killed me. My back just goes, and I'm saying to Tim, just come here, and we begin to try and get me back to the bedroom, and as we walk past the sofa, I just get this searing pain going right through my hips and down my leg and hit my knee, basically sciatic pain. Praise God for gas and air. That's all I've got to say. You know, the ambulance arrived, they took me off to hospital, they filled me full of drugs, and I'm in A&E. Now you're all sitting there going, what happened to the bird, aren't you? You're worried about, you don't care about me in A&E, do you? You're more worried about the bird. Well, the bird found its way out, as far as we know, because as far as I know, it's not in the house anymore. I think it flew out the window eventually. It found its way out. And I'm in A&E, and if you've ever been in A&E or hospital, I'm feeling incredibly vulnerable. I really haven't had this clue. I haven't got a clue what's happened to me. All I know is I can't walk, I can't stand, I'm in terrible pain, and I'm feeling that sense of weakness. A few weeks later, I'm on my feet after a lot of painkillers, and I'm with a friend, and I'm in a meeting, and he said, I want to pray for healing for you. So he took me to one side, and he was praying for me. And as he prayed for me, I sensed God say to me, Joth, I'm not going to heal your back, but I want you to minister out of weakness. I want you to minister out of weakness. Now, no one wants a bad back. No one wants an illness. No one wants a sickness. No one wants to be restricted in any physical way or any other way. But there is actually something about following Jesus, where Jesus says to us, embrace weakness. What does Paul write? Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians. He said to me, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ. We see the most powerful movements of God in our lives when it's not about us anymore. It's about Him. And of course, the greatest, weakest moment for Jesus was the cross, wasn't it? And he literally picked up the cross and began to carry it. And you remember the story that actually as he carried the cross became too weighty for him and he was unable to, so Simon had to pick up the cross on his behalf. And then they placed him upon that cross. And of course you've got the cross there. I was very tempted to go and pick it up, but then I thought that probably wouldn't do my back any good. So one needs to be careful because you've got the cross there. With Jesus, is eventually placed upon the cross. And people scold him and mock him. And the whole scene looks like a complete and utter failure. And yet this is the way. And Jesus cries, it is finished. And in that moment, the greatest power of God is seen, because actually, it's partly about the cross, but it's more than the cross, isn't it? Jesus goes through the cross. He picks up the cross. He follows the cross. He goes to that place of weakness. And in that moment of weakness, the greatest power of God is seen through the resurrection, because actually he's heading to the empty tomb. That he will rise again, and only God can do that. And only in that greatest moment of Jesus' weakness can we see the greatest power of God in his life. This is the way. You know that song, I Cling to the Old Rugged Cross? I do like singing it, and actually we sang it just a couple of Sundays ago in the church that I was in. But don't cling to the cross for too long. The cross is more of a gate. We have to go, the way takes us to the cross, a bit like Pilgrim's Progress, isn't it? The way takes us to the cross, in all that Jesus did for us on the cross, and in his greatest moment of weakness. But what it does, it takes us beyond the cross. It takes us through the cross into the place that we find that the tombstone is no longer there. It's been rolled back by the power of God and the glory of God, and Jesus now lives, resurrected. And those who follow him follow that way, that one day we too will be resurrected in the same power of God himself. Amen? This is the way. And so let me encourage you, church. And my prayer is always for my regional ministry is that churches are encouraged, not discouraged. Don't be discouraged today. Follow Jesus. You might not trust your pastor, but you can trust the Lord. And as you lay down, let go of power, relinquish status and become a servant to others. And as you embrace weakness, recognizing that in that moment of greatest weakness, God can do his greatest work, keep following in his footsteps, knowing that the power of the resurrection belongs to him and him alone, and it can be seen and will be seen in your life also. Let me finish with one story. I love telling this story, and it, you know, one day I'll come here and you'll go, he's told us all these stories before. But Bernard had motor neuron disease. When I first met Bernard, I was the pastor of Harlow Baptist Church. He came in a chair at first, at one of those kind of mobile chairs and mobility scooters. And he used to sit on that side of the church. The church was very similar to this design, actually. He just used to sit here with another lady. There was a hilarious moment when the other lady's mobility scooter suddenly switched on and she drove forward and hit the stage. But that's a different story. He gradually got iller and iller. Eventually, he couldn't come to church. He ended up in a hospital. And during one summer, we had a team of some volunteers come to us and do some mission alongside the church in Harlow. And one of the things we did is we took them to the hospital where Bernard was. And he was hoping to be amongst this group of people. And we did some puppetry and songs and stuff like that. But Bernard couldn't come because he was too ill. So after it, we took all the young people, about 10 of them, upstairs. And they all stood around Bernard's bed. At this point, Bernard could hardly speak. But he wanted to see them. And I shared a little bit about Bernard, and then Bernard wanted to say something, and all he could manage was this sentence. He looked them all in the eye and he said, "The greatest adventure that you'll ever go on is the adventure with my Lord Jesus." That's the best he could do. We went back and we had our little briefing at the end of the day, and we said to them, what was the greatest thing out of today? And each and every one of them said, being with Bernard. Because when we stood with Bernard, it felt like Jesus was there. In his greatest moment of weakness, and he died a few weeks later, in his greatest moment of weakness, I believe he said something so powerful into the lives of those young people to help them keep following Jesus the way. Let's pray. Lord, you have set us the path. You have called us to follow you. Forgive us, Lord, when we step in front of you and say, we know better. Lord, teach us the way. Show us where we must walk. Show us the footsteps that we must step into, and may they always be yours. Lord, help us to relinquish that sense of power, to let go of that sense of power that holds on to things, controls things, and doesn't allow you to be in control. Lord, help us to relinquish our status and learn to be a servant like you were a servant. And help us, Lord, to embrace weakness, recognizing that your power can be seen in us as you journey with us. Lord, may this church and each of our churches know the glory of Christ and the power of the resurrection in them as they pick up their cross and follow you. Amen. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. And just to close the service, we're going to sing When the Music Fades, or sometimes better known as Heart of Worship.
Fades, all is stripped away.
just say the grace together before we leave, and there's tea and coffee in the lounge.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.